And we're holding on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We were just sort of learning about the Korban Omer. We had the Mishnah saying that there's a difference. Everybody agrees, or almost everybody agrees, we'll learn at the end of the parak that there are different opinions, but for right now, everybody agrees that harvesting the barley for the Omer is Dercha Shalos. And so do the other Malachas to prepare the Omer. They have to do most of the malachas that are involved in making bread up to and including the point where they sift the flour and then they mix it with oil and top it with lavoina and bring it as a korban oimer. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel had said that there's a difference though between Shabbos and weekdays. On Shabbos, they would harvest only 3 saw of barley, and then out of that, they would refine it until they get 1 isarin of the fine flour that they would use for the oimer. A saw, by the way, contains a saw is three isarin. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying that they would harvest nine isarin, and then they would refine it down until they have a saw is, I said it wrongly actually. An eifah is ten esroinim. We'll get back to that once I have that straight. In any case, the point is, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that they harvest 3 saw on a weekday and on Shabbos, but 5 on a weekday. So we started saying that, whereas the Chachamim said that either way it's 3 saw. So we said that Rabbi Shmuel. So first, Rava had said the idea is it's easier to get 1 fine isarin out of 5 without having to do a lot of extra malacha, and it's harder to get it out of 3. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel takes the view that nevertheless, though, fine, we're going to have to do 1 malacha over and over again. We're going to have to sift it again and again. But nevertheless, says Rabbi Shmuel, better to do that rather than having to do extra of a lot of different malachas. If you're harvesting 5 saw, it means you're having to do a lot of extra harvesting and a lot of extra threshing and a lot of extra and so on and so forth. And Rabbi Shmuel says better not to do that, whereas the Chacham say it doesn't matter. So now the Gemara is going to bring a different explanation of what the deal is. Amar Rabbah, Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Rabbi Yechonon, Breika, Amru Dover Echad. Rabbah, on the other hand, explains that Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah and Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha, Rabbi Yechonon, Breika, that will be that the Gemara is going to quote, Amru Dover Echad, they said, in effect, the same thing, that whatever we can avoid doing on Shabbos, even when we have license to be able to be Mechalal Shabbos for avoidance in the Beis Hamikdash, but nevertheless, Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yechonon Breika holds that we should minimize the Chilul Shabbos as much as possible and only do what's absolutely necessary for the avoidah, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah, says Rabbah, is saying the same thing. Since you can get the 1 isarin out of 3 saw, then better you should do that rather than harvest 5. So different than Rava's explanation was that you could get it out of 3, it just is a bigger tircha. Rava's explanation is that since you could get it out of 3, then you have no right, according to Rabbi Shmuel, to do any more than that. Namely, the time you learn in a Braisa, Arba also Shachalis for Shabbos, if the 14th of Nisan, the Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, and of course you bring the Korban Pesach. So now one of the things you have to do as part of bringing the korban, you have to take out its internal organs. You have to take out the imurim to offer them on the mizbeach. So for the purpose of doing that, necessarily you have to strip the skin off the animal, which is a malacha, mafshit. So mafshit is a pesach ad achozer. So now what you should do is you should only strip off the skin as far as the chest of the animal. Meaning, you know, the Tosfos explains the animal is hanging up by its feet, by its legs. And you start from the legs and work your way along towards the head. And then once you've reached the chest of the animal, at that point you can get out all the emurim, the piece of the emurim that is the closest to the head is you have the diaphragm of the animal and a little bit of the liver along with it. So once you reach that point, then says Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha Rabbi Yechonon Breika, stop the stripping of the skin. Eventually you're going to need to strip it off in order to roast the Korban Pesach, but that you can't do on Shabbos. Wait till after Shabbos and then you'll finish it. V'chum say no, you continue and you do the until you remove the entire skin. You don't stop partway through. Tosfos points out, I mean, on the face of it, the same thing should apply to the other korbanos as well. The fact is, all the korbanos tzibur of Shabbos, you would have the same machlokas. So Tosfos gives a few reasons why the distinction. First of all, there's a lot of korbanos Pesach that are being brought. And here, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that the Chachamim may say that you take all the skin off, because otherwise they're lying there looking like a nevela, and it's not right. Whereas you could say, with the korbanos of, with the individual korbanos on Shabbos, then fine, there's not that many of them. Another possibility is that even the Korban Pesach, which is in a certain sense a Korban Yochid, to some extent we consider it a Korban Sibur, which is why it happens on Shabbos, but the fact is, it is being brought by Yechidim, and nevertheless it's still mutar according to the Chachamim. And a third possibility, Tosfos says, is Davka, since the Korban Pesach after all was meant to be eaten, they have more reason to be consumed. If you leave the skin on the rest of the animal, the meat may spoil and you won't be able to eat it, whereas by the other Korbanos you have less of an issue with that, because anyway, you're just going to be burning them on the Mizbeach. Anyway, the point is, says Rabbah, me like Omer Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechon ben Breika Hosem. So don't we see that in that case, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechon ben Breika says that kol hecha the efsher lo tafsinon, wherever it's possible to do otherwise, then we shouldn't do the tircha of doing extra. So therefore, we're only going to go until the chest, and that's enough to do what we need to do to take out the imurim. So by the same logic, chachanami kim v'efshel lo tochinen, the same way over here, Rabbah says, since we're able to get the one isorin out of three saw, then we don't go to the tircha of harvesting five saw. So you see, says Rabbah, that's the reason for Rabbi Shmuel and our mission. However, the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that that's the correct explanation, that in fact they're both saying the same thing? Duma ad kamma ka'omer Rabbi Shmuel hocha. You know what? Rabbi Shmuel may be saying specifically in this kind of case, elodeleka bizoyin kodshim, because there's no bizoyin for kodshim if you do three saw of barley rather than five. It's going to take a little extra work, but fine, you're able to get the one isorin out of the three saw, and that's that. But when it comes to the Korban Pesach, you're going to leave it only half skinned, and it's going to look like it's lying there like a nevela. Maybe not. Maybe you could say that Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, keep in mind, by the way, Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel plain, is usually Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and the other Rabbi Shmuel we're having over here is Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Rabbi Yechon ben Breita. So you could say that Kerabbanan Svidalei, maybe Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, agrees with the Chachamim against Rabbi Shmuel, Benoshu Rabbi Yechon ben Breita, and says that when it comes to skinning the Korban Pesach, you should in fact do the whole thing. Inami, and vice versa. You could say the other way around. So that would tell us, in other words, that Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah might well say, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, skin the whole thing, not like Rabbi Shmuel Benoshu Rabbi Yechon ben Breita. Nor do we have to say that Rabbi Shmuel Benoshu Rabbi Yechon ben Breita agrees with Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah that on Shabbos you should harvest less. Because you could say, Inami, on the other hand, you could say, Ad kam like Rabbi Shmuel Benoshu Rabbi Yechon ben Breita hasam. You know why? Rabbi Shmuel Benoshu Rabbi Yechon ben Breita says, in that case, that you should only skin the animal until the chest, and up to and including the chest, so you can take out the emorim, elevates avid late sarach gaboya. At that point, what needs to be done for Hashem's purposes has been done. At that point, you can take out the emorim. True, as far as preparing it to eat, you're going to need to strip off more of the skin, but that part is not going to be Derech HaShabbos. So therefore you could say at that point then Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher ben Yechon ben Breita says stop the skinning over there. V'loy tzorech acholei Shabbos, you don't need to be mechal Shabbos for it. Aval hocha, but when it comes to over here, d'leis avid leitzorech gavoya, where what has been done for Hashem has not been done yet, because again, you're only going to get, as we said before, you're only going to get a really good isorin out of five saw of grain. So what's needed for Hashem has not been done yet. Or the Sfasemes has a different explanation that it means. Think about it. Where if you're harvesting three saw, then you're getting the entire isorin is contained within that three saw. But since normally on weekdays you're supposed to harvest five saw, then says the Sfas Emes, you think about it, the entire isorin is coming from all five saw, so it comes out. In effect, if you did only three saw, yeah, the doichach, you could get one isorin out of it, but under normal circumstances, it means that you've only gotten three fifths of what you need, because under under normal circumstances, you would get one Isarin out of five Sa and not three. So therefore, in effect, when you haven't harvested the other two Sa yet, in effect, it's somewhere in that two Sa is the remainder of the Isarin, which you haven't gotten yet. So the tzorech la'achol is Shabbos. So you need to be mechal Shabbos either, again, as Rashi says, in order to get the best possible flour, you need from five saw, or as this Fasana says, because parshat, until you've done five, you haven't gotten all of the flour that is going to yet be used for the omer. He says another point as well. I mean, he says that since the skin is, when it comes to the skin of the Korban Pesach, it's attached to the body. So therefore, if you only do some of the skinning, then there's not really a Chilul Shabbos yet involved over there. So to do any more skinning, then that would involve Chilul Shabbos, as opposed to the Omer. You have to already be Mechal Shabbos for the three. What you've done so far is also Chilul Shabbos. You're just allowed to because of Avodah. Then you should be doing the other two as well. So Ema Kirabon and Svirle. So maybe then Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher Rabbi Yechim Abroika would agree like the Chachamim in our Mishnah and say that. and say that you harvest three saw. The Chachamim say you harvest three saw either way. So there's really no proof for what Rabba is saying that the two of them hold the same way. So the Gemara says so Ella Omar Rabba. So rather Rabba says that you know what I'm going to explain. Now Shita Mukubetzes does bring up a point that wait a minute, it doesn't necessarily mean he holds exactly like the Chachamim, because the Chachamim in our Mishnah say that it's always three saw, and here we're discussing whether you should ever do five saw. So he says, okay, it doesn't mean exactly like the Chachamim. They say it's always three, whereas the premise that we're saying over here is that maybe Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechim ben Breuka might hold that it should really be five. But at any rate, the point is the Chachamim don't distinguish between weekday and Shabbos, and we can say in that sense, and in that sense, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechim ben Breuka may be agreeing with them. As far as the within that, there would be the detail. It's true where he holds that in order to get the best possible quality, you need according to him, you need five saw, and according to him, you would need three. But fine, that's a minor detail, which that doesn't affect the point that he's trying to make. So Rabba says, fine, you're right then, that's not a valid comparison. Ela Omar Rabba. So rather Rabba says, Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Chanina Sagana Koinim Amru Dover Echad. Rather we can say though that Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah and Rabbi Chanina Sagana Koinim elsewhere are both saying the same thing and saying that we have to minimize the, or not elsewhere, right in our Mishnah. They were saying the same thing as far as minimizing the amount of Chilul Shabbos that we should do. Granted, again, that we're allowed to do it, to harvest the Omer on Shabbos, but nevertheless, Rabbi Chanina, Sagana Koinim, in our Mishnah, continues and says, in effect, you should have less of it being done, so therefore, Rabbi Shmuel would be holding the same way. It's not, as we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina, Sagana Koinim, remember, the Shabbos Nitzav Yachid, if the 16th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, then only one person does the harvesting, the Magal Echad, using only one sickle, or the Kupa Achas, using only, and putting the grain into one basket, or the Choyl, whereas on weekdays, the Shloish of the Shloitzer with three people, the Shalosh Kupas, three baskets, over Shalosh Magolas, and with three sickles. So according to Rabbi Chanina Sagana Koinim, we see because it's Shabbos, we want less Chilul Shabbos to be done. So rather than having three different people, b'machal Shabbos, better we should have only one person do it. So we see that he says that even though it's perfectly allowed to do it on Shabbos, nevertheless, we still want to minimize the amount of Chilul Shabbos that's being done. So in other words, me like Omar Rav Chanina, so don't we see there that Rav Chanina Sagana Koinim is Vachomim, sorry, I skipped the line, Vachomim, Nachom say, no, Echad Shabbos Ve'echad Choyl, whether Shabbos or weekday, the Shalosh Kupas or the Shalosh Magolas, either way, there were three baskets and three sickles, and there were three people doing it. And we're going to learn later on in the Perek, we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that by Chusim, they claimed that the Omer is is not brought on the 16th of Nisan unless it happens to be Sunday. They held that Mimachos HaShabbos means the day after Shabbos and therefore Sunday. So to demonstrate that they're wrong, Chum would make a big publicity about the harvesting of the Omer, and for that reason the Chum say even on Shabbos we want to have three people doing it. Which the Gemara is going to point out that distinction soon. So what, don't we see that Rav Chanina Segan HaKohanim is saying there, yes, you can harvest it on Shabbos, but kiven de efsher, but since you're able to do it differently, with only one person, lo tavchinan, we shouldn't have more tircha, we shouldn't have three people doing it. Hachanami, the same thing over here, when it comes to how many sa'ah of barley we're going to harvest, kiven de efsher, since it's possible to do it out of three, lo tavchinan, then we shouldn't go to the tircha of harvesting five. So that would explain, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion on Mishnah, that we want to do as little tircha of Chilul Shabbos as possible. But again, the Gemara says, Mimai, how is that a valid comparison? Duma Abkam, like Omer Rabbi Shmuel Hacha. You know why Rabbi Shmuel is saying over here that you harvest only three saw, Ella, the Lekha Pirsum and Milsa, because there's no publicity in doing three versus five. If you harvest five, it doesn't create any greater publicity, which we need in order to counteract the Baitusim, for harvesting three than five. So you might as well just harvest three and then mutrazich and then work to get the one pure isaron out of it. Aval Hossam, but when it comes to having one person versus three, the Ikka Pursuing Milsa, where there is a matter of publicizing it, because you have three people doing it, then it makes it much more publicity. Ema Kurabban and Svirle, he may well hold like the Chachamim, that even on Shabbos, you would have three people in order to demonstrate not like the Baitosin. So, in fact, in a year like that, if you think about it, the 16th of Nisan is Shabbos. Conceivably, if in a year like that, Adar had been only 29 days, and the 16th came out on Shabbos, conceivably, they might easily have made Adar 30 days and have the 16th pushed off one day to Sunday, which we find elsewhere in Shas, where the Baitusim did sometimes try to manipulate things to make that happen. So here, Adar, we would demonstrate to them, absolutely not. We deliberately allowed it to come out on Shabbos, and the harvesting done on Friday night to demonstrate that you guys are wrong and it doesn't take place on Motzei Shabbos / Sunday. So Rabbi Shmuel may well hold, like the Chachamim, that we should have three people doing it. When it comes to the amount, fine, do only three saw because there's no pursuing milsa in it. Inami and vice versa. Also, we can say that Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Shmuel either. Adkan like Omer Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim Hasam. You know why Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim says there that only one person should harvest? The E Bechad, the E Beshloisha, because whether we do it, whether we have one person harvesting or three, Tzorach Gavoya, Misavad Kil Chasa, either way, what needs to be done for Hashem to actually prepare the korban properly has been done properly. It doesn't really matter for the purpose of, it means that with one person it will take longer, but fine, that doesn't matter. We have all night to harvest the Omer, and therefore then, and the quality of the flour for the Omer will still be the same. Aval Chacha, but in the case of three versus five saw, Dolis Avad Kil Chasa, Tzorach Gavoya, where what's needed for Hashem has not been done properly, because again, as we said before, following the logic that you can get better quality flour out of five saw versus out of three, you could well say that he holds like the Rabbanan, and therefore that we should be harvesting the five saw so that we can get the best possible flour out of it. No proof necessarily that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim of our Mishnah over here say would agree. They both say that there is a distinction of how it's done in Shabbos and weekdays, but not necessarily based on the same considerations. El Omer Rav Ashi, so rather Rav Ashi says fine, but we can have a different explanation of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yosi Amru Dabar Echad. We can say that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yosi say in effect the same thing. That they both talk about not to do Chilul Shabbos when we have an equally good alternative. The Tanan, we learn in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Now, every month, Beis Din would sit and wait for Edom to come, and then they would declare Rosh Chodesh accordingly. The Gemara explains in Rosh Hashanah that for the Edom to travel to Beis Din is Doicha Shabbos, because it's important that the Yom Tovim should be in the proper times, and therefore the Torah gives permission for the Edom to come to travel to Beis Din, even if it's outside the Tchum, even if it involves actual Chilul Shabbos, then they're still allowed to do that. Because the Gemara there learns it from Sukkim. So now, so the Mishnah says, it's not Ben Shinira Ba'alil, whether the moon was clearly visible, Ba'alil, which Gemara explains over there, actually comes from a word in Lashon Kodesh, means close. So, so close or easily visible. So, so in other words, it's very, the moon is about the same distance either way, but in other words, it was relatively high in the sky and relatively close to our field of, and much closer to our field of vision. So whether that eventually near the Ba'alil, or whether it was not seen Ba'alil so clearly, either way, Mechal and all of us are Shabbos, either way, Edom, who saw the new moon, can be Mechal Shabbos to go, to come to Basin to testify. Rabbi Yossi says, no, im near Ba'alil, ain't Mechal and all of us Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says that if it was seen clearly, they can't be Mechal Shabbos, because then we can assume, why should they go to Beis Din? If it was visible so Ba'alil, Beis Din themselves probably saw it, and as the Mishnayos described there in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, it's perfectly valid for a couple of members of the Beis Din themselves to get up and be Edim in front of the other ones. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying there's no purpose in the Edim from other places to be Mechal Shabbos. So, me like Omer Rabbi Yossi Hossam, so don't we see that Rabbi Yossi is saying over there, Kim in the Efshel Lo Tachinan, since it's possible to accomplish the Kiddush HaChodesh in the proper time without them coming, so therefore they shouldn't go to the bother of coming and being Mechal Shabbos, Hachanami, Kim in the Efshel Lo Tachinan, the same logic over here, since it's possible to get the Yisod and a flower out of three saw, then we shouldn't go to the tircha of getting it out of five. So therefore, said Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, who distinguishes five on weekdays, three on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yossi, who says v'machal Shabbos only when absolutely necessary for Kiddush HaChodesh, it comes out they're saying the same thing. But again, the Gemara says mimai, who says that's the correct explanation, who says that they actually agree. You know what? You could say that the reason why Rabbi Shmuel says over here, three saw rather than five, because there's no factor of that if you tell them to harvest less, then you're going to machshul them in the future. When it comes to the Edim, the Mishnayos there in Rosh Hashanah explain, you always have a consideration that you want to encourage Edim to come in the future. This time it happened, the moon was very clearly visible. But if you don't allow them, if you discourage them from coming one time, you tell them it's not necessary, you tell them you should know in advance when the moon is visible so clearly it's not necessary, because then Beis Din is going to see them themselves, then they're going to see it themselves, then they're going to think to themselves in the future, well, you know what, in the future I'm also going to rationalize to myself, yeah, it was probably based in, or somebody else saw it, and I'm not going to bother coming. And then there may be times when you're the only Edim who actually saw the moon, and then Rosh Chodesh would be declared based on you. So Aval Hosam, in that case of Kiddush HaKodesh, and say Satan Machshul and Lassid Lavei, you have the problem that you're going to be Machshul them in the future. Sometimes it may not be so Ba'alil. But they're going to think to themselves, you know what, we saw it. So the same way Beis Din probably saw it as well, and we won't bother. And then it comes out that no Edim come, it comes out, that it turns out there were no other Edim, and they didn't know that, and now it comes out that the moon is, that the month is being lengthened where it shouldn't have been. So therefore, so that's a consideration we should allow them regardless. In a similar vein, the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah that one time many, many groups of Edim were passing through the city of Lud, and Rabbi Akiva held them back. Well, actually, the Gemara says over there it was actually the mayor of the city of Lud, a fellow named Shezber. Anyway, was holding them back, saying, it's Shabbos. What are you traveling? What are you traveling to the Beis Din for no reason? They surely saw it where they are as well. And even if not, you don't need all 40 groups of you to go. And the Chum sent a message to him saying that had nothing to do. You have to allow them through, because otherwise you're going to be machshel them in the future, and they're not going to want to bother coming in the future when conceivably they might indeed be the only Edim. So therefore, so that's a valid reason to say that regardless whether Ba'alil or not, we should allow them to come even if that involves Chil Shabbos. So therefore, so over there, Aval Hosam, didn't say so after Machshulim La'asid Lavei, there where you have that consideration of Machshulim La'asid Lavei, Eimek Rabban and Svir Alei. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah would agree with the Chachamim over there that regardless the Edim still come on Shabbos. Inami, I'm kind of like Omer Rabbi Yossi Hossam, or vice versa. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is only saying over there that they shouldn't come, Ella deleka tzarech gavoya. Because after all, there's no tzarech gavoya. There's no korban. There's no korban that depends on it. A korban will depend on it when the Bismithish was standing, then on Rosh Chodesh they're going to bring a korban, but they're not directly doing something with a korban. It's more like it's something indirect. So therefore, that's not a valid reason, according to him, the Nitna Shabbos Lidachas. So he holds that Shabbos was not already, so first of all, there's no Tzorach Gavaya, that's not a korban. And second of all, there's not a different reason for which already Shabbos is able to be pushed off. You're not saying that already you were able to violate Shabbos because of such and such, so now go ahead and also be Makatan and also travel to Beis Din for Eidus HaChodesh. It's not. You don't have, other than that, there would be no other thing that you're being Makatan, that you have permission to be Makatan that Shabbos. Aval Hocha, but when it comes over here to the Omer, first of all, the Ikat Tzarech Gavoya, first of all, there is a need for Hashem, there was a need for the Korban, because again, we need to harvest five saw in order to get the best possible flour out of it. And on top of that, Shabbos has already been given to be pushed over, because already we're going to be harvesting three saw, we're going to be at least harvesting at least three saw anyway, and that's anyway Bilul Shabbos. So you could say that maybe he would agree with the Chachamim and say that it is, and say that you are in fact allowed to harvest the Chacham, again, not exactly like the Chachamim, as the Shulchan Aruch Kvetzes pointed out. The Chacham say that you're always harvesting three, not five, but in any case, following the logic of the Chachamim to say that you should always harvest the same amount as on weekdays as much as on Shabbos as much as on weekdays in order that you get the best quality flour, and since Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah says that the best that you can do is that you can get it best out of five saw, then maybe Rav Yossi would agree with that logic, and he would say, though, so then I'm agreeing with the Chachamim that it's always the same on Shabbos as on Shabbos as on weekdays, and I'm following Rabbi Shmuel's svara that the best way to do that is to harvest five saw and then to get one isara out of it. So even that, so Emek Rabbanan Svirulei, maybe Rabbi Yossi would hold like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah and not like Rabbi Shmuel. So it comes out that we don't specifically have, we can't specifically map Rabbi Shmuel's opinion onto any other Tana. So fine, he's a Tana, he's entitled to his own opinion, but in other words, we're left with that the underlying reason that was saying why Rabbi Shmuel would make the distinction was, we said before, what Rava had said, that since you the best way to get it is out of five, but you could, with extra sifting, get it out of three, then Rabbi Shmuel would prefer that you do extra sifting, you're doing the same malacha over and over again, rather than doing extra with a whole bunch of different malachas. If you harvest five, where you're doing a lot of extra harvesting, and a lot of extra threshing, and a lot of extra of the other malachas. In terms, by the way, of the conversion factor, as I was saying, I was a little mixed up before what they are. What it is an isaron is three-tenths of a... An isaron is three-tenths of a saw. So if you're harvesting three saw, then it means that you're getting one isaron out of it. Means you're taking one-tenth. You're taking altogether one-tenth an ephah is three saw. An isaron is one tenth of an ephah. So if you're taking one, if you're doing three saw of barley, then you're getting one tenth out of it becomes the korban omer. If you're doing five saw, then it comes out, it's about 1/16 or 1/17. So in short, what we're saying is the best way of doing it would be that you harvest five, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the best way of doing it would be to harvest five, and then you're filtering it out, you're threshing it and doing all the procedures and sifting it and everything, and you're getting out about 1/16 or 1/17 of it as something. But you could manage that if you start out with only three saw, you would just have to sift it more. But Rabbi Shmuel says better you should do that on Shabbos, whereas the Chum say either way, you're always getting one-tenth of what you harvested. And again, we said there are various Tanoim over here who might well hold that the best way to do it is indeed to get it out of five saw, and they would hold that you do that even on Shabbos. Okay. So now let's talk more about this. We've been talking all this time then about this point that you're able to be Mechalel Shabbos to do the Avoda. So now let's talk about more in that connection. Itman, shochat shtei chatoris shol tzibur, ve'in etzorech ala achas. Suppose a person mistakenly shechted two chatoris of the tzibur when only one was needed. So say, for example, it was Rosh Chodesh, or it was a Yom Tov, came out on Shabbos. Now, in general, on Rosh Chodesh, and most Yom Tovim, you bring one goat as a chatas. Now, let's say, for example, Rashi says that you had, let's say, over here, so you had that goat for the chatas, but you also happened to have over there a goat that was supposed to be brought as the korban for Avodah Zarah. The Seiria Avodah Zarah that are brought by the Tzibur when basically mistakenly paskin and said they're allowed to do a certain act of worship to Avodah Zarah. A number of them are Farshim, Shittim, Kobetzis, and others take out from Rashi the word Avodah Zarah because that doesn't really fit. The Zarah of Avodah Zarah would never be brought on Shabbos, it's only brought on weekdays. In any case, the case is that he had two goats in front of him and he shechted, and he was supposed to shecht only one for that day's korban. And by mistake, he shechted both. Omer Rabba, v'itemer Rabbi, sort of Abba, sort of Rabba, or some say Rabbi Ami says, Chayev al Shnia upotu al Rishona, he'll be Chayev a Chatas for the second one, because he's a Shogun. He thought he's allowed to shecht it, because he thought that it's a Korban of the Tzibur, and he should shecht it on Shabbos, but he didn't. The fact is, once he shechted the first one, the second one is no longer, the second one is no longer useful for the Tzibur. Now, Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have said the same thing as far as Oilus. The difference is that Oilus, a lot of times, there are indeed a lot of them. So yeah, you could have where he checked with too many animals for Oilus, but it's easier to understand, it's easier to imagine a case. In the case of a Chatas, where most of the time there's only one, and he shechted two. But yes, the same thing would be, for example, if let's say a day when there's supposed to be seven sheep for the Mustafim, and he shechted eight. Same for the Oilus, and he shechted eight. Same idea. In any case, Rabba says that since once he shechted the first one, that's it. Kapara, the Tzibur now has their kapara with that. But once the rest of the avodas of it are done, then that will be the valid one. Therefore, he had no right to shecht the second one, and therefore that's a mistake, and therefore he'd be chayav achatas for that. And Rabba continues, v'afilun eskapa loy b'shnia, even if it ends up that the second one ends up getting used for the kapara. Meaning, let's say, for example, the blood of the athlete shechted the first one, the blood got spilled, and therefore you can't sprinkle it on the mizbeach. So now you could argue, it turns out that both of them were valid shita. The first one he had every right to shecht because it was a korban for that day. And the second one, it turns out retroactively, it was right of him to shecht it because that's the one where he ended up doing the kapara with it. Nevertheless, though, we still say he's chayav for the second one because even if they were in a scapper with the second one, nevertheless, when he shechted the first one, he didn't know, it was a shogig, but the point is that we can say at that time, there wouldn't have been an onlooker who would see him doing that, wouldn't see that there's any intention to shecht a korban because the korban has already been shechted. So even then we would still say that he's chayav for having shechted that second one, because when he shechted that second one, he had no right to yet. So Rabba adds, even if it turns out that the first one is a very scrawny animal, and the second one that he shechted is a nice fat animal, and that would be the right thing to do, that would be the better thing to bring for the korban, So in other words, you could argue the first one was scrawny. You have the concept that Rashi mentions based on a pasuk. Would you offer such a thing to your governor? No, it would be a bizoyan. So you could argue it's a bizoyan to offer to Hashem a scrawny animal. Maybe therefore it was right of him to shech the second one. Nevertheless, says Rabba, no, he'd still be chayav a chatas for that, because the fact is the first one would have been kosher. So the Gemara asked him, "Mi Amar Rabba Hachi? Did Rabba really say that?" Well, Amar Rabba, but Rabba also said, "Hoi b'fan of shtei chatos." On Shabbos, he had two animals available for a chatos in front of him, where again only one needs to be brought because let's say it's Rosh Chodesh. Achas shmein of achas kosha. One of them is fat and the other one is scrawny. Shochat shmeina v'achakach shochat kosha. If he first shechted the fat one and then he shechted the scrawny one, so now he had no right to shecht the scrawny one, because once he shechted the fat one, then that was the better one, and that's the one that should be the korban. So then chayav, then he's going to be chayav achatas because he had no right to shecht the other one. But kosha v'achakach shmeina. But if he shechted the scrawny one and then he shechted the fat one potter, then he's potter from achatas because he was correct. Not just potter, as he's going to go on to say, he should do that with a pillar, because you should bring the best animal as a korban. Veloyoy, so he'd be potter, because he wasn't machal Shabbos unnecessarily. Veloyoy, not only that, we actually tell him, chove shmein lachchilo shchoy, bring the fat one over here and shecht it. Because, again, that it's better not to bring a scrawny animal if you can help it. Now, Shitim Kobetzis points out, when it's proposed to Sophonius, that, the Gemara could have easily answered the question, that the difference is that, that you didn't know which one was, you didn't know at the time of the Shitta which was which. But now the Gemara is going to talk about soon the question, do we go according to his Machshava, or do we go according to his Maisa? At this point, the Gemara doesn't want to get into that distinction. So at this point, then, the Gemara just figures that it doesn't matter whether he knew or not. Either way, Rava is saying that if he shechted the fat one first and the skinny one second, he's chayav, and the other way, he would be potter. And in fact, he should do that, whereas in the previous statement, Rava had said that either way, once he shechted one, then he can't shecht the other one if he does his chayav chatas. So the Gemara says, he voice him a smik choshemikamaisa. One possibility is in the first statement of Rabba, we should delete the part about kosha. We should just have the part where he shechted the first one and then he's chayev for the, and then he's chayev for the second one. Without the part about the first one turning out to be scorny, because you're right, in that case, based on Rabba's second statement, he would have every right to shecht that first one. So in fact, then Rabba's not contradicting himself. That's one possibility. The other answer we just said before, that was either Rabba or Rav Ami said it. Well, very well, Rav Ami said that he'd be chayev even if he shechted the scrawny one first and the fat one second, and Rabba would be disagreeing with him. They're both Amiroyim. They can disagree with one another. So the Gemara says, Omer Ravina Ravashi, Nimtzis Rishon Harishon Choshe B'mnei Me'ayin Mahu. What would be the din? So we're saying, according to Rabba, that if one of them, that if the first one was scrawny and he shechted it, then by all means he should go and shecht the second one because we should bring the best possible korban. What happens if the animal looked on the outside to be fat? And then when you shecht it, after he shechted it, and after they opened it up and started looking at the kishkis, then they found internally that it really is scrawny. Meaning Rabbeinu Gershom says, let's say for example, so they opened it up and they found it doesn't have much in the way of chelev to offer. The Rambam actually says the Rambam has a different girsa on it, a different girsa, a different explanation, that he explains that it means they actually found the trefa in the internal organs, which they didn't know of at the time they shechted it. So now, Mahu, what would be the din is he kind of chatas us for shechting the second one. In other words, Rashi explains, Rabba had said that at the time he shechted the second one, he didn't know that the first one is kosher. So now the question is, according to Rabba, Rabba is saying that it's potter if he turns out before he shechted the second one that the first one is scrawny, but here he only found it out afterwards, after he shechted the second one, would he be chayav for the second one? So the question is, Are we going according to his machshava? The gavrul isur kamachaben. Well, in that case, the person was having in mind to do an isur, not strictly. I mean, not deliberately going to. By definition, it's trigger over here, but meaning, in other words, that he it means that he planned. It means that he intended to do a shchita, which turns out to be based on the information we had at the time, would have been a shchita that was osur, because at the time we didn't know that there's anything wrong with the first one. So then in that case, we should have reason to be mechayev hamachatas. Shitim Kobetzis points out, wait a minute, so what if he intended to do something which at the time we thought was an issue? The same way, let's say, for example, a person intended to eat chaylev and eats shuman, which is permissible fat. Are you going to say he's chayev hamachatas? So what's the difference over here? And the answer is, Shitim Kobetzis says, that shuman is completely mutter. Here, after all, the fact is that Sibyl was yotze with the scrawny one. The only reason why we're saying you should check another one is because we do want the best one possible. So maybe then we could argue, if he doesn't mean to, if he didn't know at the time he checked the second one that the first one is in fact substandard, then maybe we should be mechayev him, because after all, he did do something which objectively is chilul Shabbos. It's just, it turns out it was a good thing because the first korban turned out to be unsuitable. So we have reason to argue that he should be chayev. Or Joma Boss of Maisa was linen, or maybe we go according to his actual action. The fact is, it comes out that in the end we did do the best possible korban, because it turns out the first one didn't have enough chaylev or whatever exactly the problem is, and therefore we should say that it turns out that he did the right thing, and in retrospect it turns out he did the right thing shechting the second one. Now, Tosfos points out before, when the Gemara had mentioned the case in the Scapa B'Shnia, where it turned out, let's say, the blood of the first one spilled, and then he offered the second one, and we said before, Rava was Machayev him, but the difference is over there that there the shechita itself, the animal itself, was perfectly fine, just that something external happened and the blood was spilled. In the case though, in this case over here of Chosha B'Mnei, where it turns out that internally it's no good, we just didn't know because we didn't X-ray the animal ahead of time to see that it doesn't have enough chelev. If we had known, as Tosfos phrases it, if Eliyahu HaNavi had come and told us that it is in fact scrawny internally, then he would have brought the fat one, the hatchila, and therefore we have reason to say that even after the fact, he sheds the fat one, then maybe it should be fine, as opposed to the case where the blood spilled. It's not a matter of yavar Eliyahu. It's just the fact is that the shechita itself was perfectly fine, and the animal was perfectly fine, and then the blood spilled. Tosfos also just distinguishes there's something called tor b'dvar mitzvah v'asa mitzvah. There's a case where a person is in the process of doing a mitzvah and actually accomplishes the mitzvah, and then meanwhile he does a mistake, which for one example is in Masechta Sukkah. A person, for example, carries out his lulav on Shabbos. He is yotze the mitzvah of lulav, and on the other hand is carrying on Shabbos. So then we talk about that he can be potter from a chatas because he was doing a mitzvah. So here. When we talk about, for example, he shechted the first one, and then the blood spilled, and then he's shechting the second one, he's not necessarily doing, when he shechted the second one, though, the blood had not been spilled yet, so then we can't say that he did a mitzvah at all, so it's not really the same thing, says Tosfos. Anyway, the point is, getting back to over here, sort of in Askabashi, where we found out afterwards, so it's not a case where the animal itself was perfectly good, but the blood spilled, an external factor. There was something internal to the animal, but we didn't know it until after the shchita of the second one. So now, should we be mechayev him for the shchita of the second one or not? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers him, lav hainu d'rabba v'rabba, isn't this exactly the same case? Can't we compare this to the case that Rabba and Rabba disagree about? In connection with another malacha of Shabbos, namely like this, Itmar. We have a discussion as follows. Shama shetovat tinek v'yam. Person here is that a child has fallen into the sea and is about to drown. Oporas mitzuda lahalas dogim. Meanwhile, now the person who hears about it, he spread out a net into the water to catch fish. He wasn't planning to catch the kid. He just planned to do a malacha of Shabbos and catch some fish. The hell of dogim. If now he catches fish, chayav, then of course he's chayav achatas. If it was b'shoigiv, he'd be chayav achatas. If it was b'mezid, he's chayav other punishments. But in any case, let's say he didn't know that you're not allowed to fish on Shabbos. So then he'd be chayav achatas. Lahalas dogim. But what happens if he did intend to catch fish? The hell of dogim vitinik. What happens? He caught some fish, but he also caught the kid and saved his life. Rava Omer Chayav. Rava says he's going to be Chayav Echatas for that, because the fact is, when he put in the net, he had every intention of catching fish, and the fact is, he did catch fish, and he was over on that issue of Tzedah. The Rava Omer Potter, whereas Rava says he's Potter, because the fact is that he ended up saving the kid. In fact, Rashi says, by the way, that Rava would patter him even if he didn't actually hear. They were saying that he heard that even if he heard a kid was drowning and he put in a net, if he only caught fish, if he didn't catch the kid, then Rabba would agree. Then Rabba would agree that he's chayim. But like this, when he heard and he's actually intending to catch the kid, then Rabba would say the fact that he catches fish also means that he's potter. And ve'adkan Rabba lekapotter elokim neshama. The reason why Rabba is pattering him b'pashrus is because kiven deshama, since he heard that a baby is drowning over there, aminan, we say nami daite atinik, he must mean also, when he's putting in his net, he must mean also to save the kid. He's not going to be so callous as just going to ignore that and stam go fishing. It must be that he did have somewhere, at least in the back of his mind, that he plans to save the kid. Avaloi shama, but if he didn't hear about any kid, loy, then Rabba would not necessarily say that he's potter. Why? Because we go according to his machshava. He planned to catch fish. So therefore you see that you go according to his machshava. So Rabba is saying he's chayev even though he caught the kid as well. because you grow according to his machshava. And Rabba is saying, if he didn't catch the kid after all, if he only caught fish, then he's also chayev because of his machshava. So we see therefore that you go according to his machshava. So therefore, to answer your question, says Rav Ashi to Ravina, the same way over here, since his machshava at the time was a shchita that is also, again, we're not saying that he deliberately shechted the isser, that wouldn't make him chayav achantas. What we mean, in other words, he intended to do an act of shchita, which it turns out, which objectively is not something that's needed for the korban. It turns out, afterwards, it was the right thing to do, because it turns out the original animal was kosher b'nei me'ayin, but that's not a reason to pater him from achantas. Some say Omalei that Rav Ashi says to Ravina, on the contrary, Hainu Plutayu the Rabba of Rava. That it's actually the machloikas of Rabba and Rava is very negaya to this as well, but in a different way. If he didn't hear that a baby is drowning in the sea, the word loy is in parenthesis over here, and different mafoshim have different yusos whether it should be over here. So are we talking about that he didn't hear that there's a child drowning, and then he went to fish, or are we talking about that he did? In any case, he spread a net in the water to catch fish. The hell of dogim, if he caught fish, chayev, then he's going to be chayev for being machal Shabbos. Lahalas dogim, the hell of tinik with dogim. But what happens if he did put in the net intending to catch fish, but he caught the fish, but he also caught the baby? Rabba Amar Potter, Rava Amar Chayev. Then again, we have the same machlokes that we just said. Rabba would say he's Potter, Rava says he's Chayev. Rabba Amar Potter, Zilbos and Maisel. So Rabba says he was Potter. Because we would go according to his meisim, and now we would say that even if it doesn't matter whether he heard or not, either way, the fact is he caught the baby and saved him, and therefore Rabba says he'd be potter, because the fact is his meisim was that he saved a life. But Rava Amar Chayev, whereas Rava would say he's Chayev, Zilbos Machshav, that you go according to his Machshav. So in the first version, then, we're saying that, in the first version, Rav Ashi is saying that both Rava and Rava would agree that you go according to his Machshav. And the only case where Rava would talk to him is where he heard that a baby was drowning, and now when he put in his net, we can assume that aside from wanting to catch fish, he also wanted to save the child, and therefore we have a reason to pater him. But otherwise, he would say that you go according to his machshava, and he would be chayav. Whereas in the second version, we're saying Rabba would hold, you go according to his machshava, and Rava would say you go according to his, or the other way around, Rava would say you go according to his machshava, and Rabba would say you go according to his maisim. And in that case, in the case of the two animals for the korban, then we would say, according to the second version, that so in the second version, we would say that Rabba would say he's potter for shechting the second animal, because it does turn out, in retrospect, that it was the right thing to do, since the first one was kosher b'nei me'ayim. And then on the other hand, according to Rava, he would be chayev, because the fact is, his machshava at the time was for an action which is also on Shabbos. So when it comes to the korbanos, the Rambam paskins like Rabba, that he'd be even if we found that it was something wrong with the Bnei Me'ayim, we would still pater him because the fact is he did do something which it turns out was the right thing to do on Shabbos. As far as the regular Hilchos Shabbos, as far as this case about the baby in the water and fishing over there. So the Rambam paskins there like Rava. That regardless, as long as he caught the baby, even if he only intended to catch fish, then nevertheless he's potter. Even if he didn't hear that there was any baby in the water, but once he caught a baby and saved his life, then you would say that he's potter. The Ravid actually seems to have the Gusa the other way around in our Gemara. He has Rava saying Potter and Rava saying Chayev, and the Ravid points out that in that case, then why is the Rambam passing like Rava, who was a Talmud of Rava? On the face of it, at that point in Jewish history, we say that you go according to a Rebbe against the Talmud. Only later on, beginning, in fact, from the time of Abaya and Rava and on, do we say Halacha Kabasroi is the Halacha like later authorities. So some of Foshim on the Rambam deal with why exactly. So why indeed? So there's actually the Migdal Oiz over there actually quotes a tshuva from the Rambam on the subject, where he analyzes this Gemara over here and talks about the implications of it. And he says, first of all, the Rambam has a Gusa as we have it over here, that Rabba says he's Potter, Rabba says he's Chayev. So first of all, Rabba is Rabba's Rebbe, and that's a reason to Paskin like him at that point in Jewish history. And second of all, the Rambam goes to say, second of all, because in the first Lashon, we're being more medayek from Rabba's words rather than from Rabba's, implying that we go according to Rambam. And he goes on and explains over there. So that explains the Rava's objection against the Rambam. This was actually in Shlosh Brachim of Rambam a few days ago, all of this. Continuing on this din of Chilul Shabbos as far as we're on Shabbos, where it's mutter. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba, Chilul Sham Duel Gergeres Afas, suppose that there was a sick person and the doctors evaluated that he needs one fig to cure him. 10 people ran all at once and brought him 10 figs. Turin, all of them are potter from Achatas, even if they all took them off the tree, one after the other, so even though you could argue once the first one did it, the second one has no right to do it, but all of them meant for the mitzvah. Because, as Rashi explains, we know the din is, the faster a person is for doing something for a sick person on Shabbos, then the better he is. So therefore, all of them were Zoris, and all of them, therefore, are potter from Katas, and all of them did the right thing. So even if it was Bezah Hazeh. But now, obviously, if they know already that one was picked, then they can't pick the other ones. What we mean, in other words, Nashis, they didn't know yet. Afilu Kodam, the Hivri Barishona, even if now one of them got there faster and gave him the fig and he ate it and was cured, nevertheless, all the other ones who picked figs, not knowing yet that that had happened, they're still potter because they all meant for the purpose of the mitzvah. This is as a more practical example nowadays. You have, let's say, a Hatzolah call comes in on Shabbos and five different Hatzolah guys run out of different shuls all to go take care of it. All of them are doing the right thing because none of them know which one is going to get there first and which one is going to be able to help them. So now, in this connection, Boy Rava. So now, Rava asks the question, suppose the doctors evaluated that he needs two figs to cure him. Now, we have like this, the Eshtei Grogris, Eshtei Uktsin. We have in one place on the tree, there are two figs, each one growing on its own stem. So if we take those two, then we're going to have to do two Malachas of Ktsira on Shabbos. Pick one, and then pick the other. On the other hand, the Sholosh V'Oikats Achas. Then we have in another place on the tree, there's three figs hanging from one stem. Hey, me now, my sinan. Which one should we bring for the sick person? The question is, shtayim my sinan d'chazulei. Should we pick only the two figs, each one with their own stem, because that's all he needs, and pick any more than that would be chibul Shabbos unnecessarily? Or do a sholosh my sinan? Or maybe we should bring the three that are on one stem to come a mata katsira, because that way we're reducing the amount of katsira, the amount of malacha that we're doing, because that way we only have to pick off one stem rather than off two stems. So maybe that would be the better way of doing it. Tosfos points out, you have similar dinim on Yom Tov, for example. You're allowed to fill up, let's say, a whole pot of meat, even if you only need some of it for Yom Tov. So first of all, Yom Tov is more lenient, so that's different than Shabbos, and then you have other cases. You have a case involving Mila, for example, where, for example, you have a Mila that was done on Shabbos, and then you don't have hot water available to bathe the baby, and then you warm up water on Shabbos. That's a little bit different. But in a case here, we're talking about that here. Here we're talking about that that you have your choice of doing picking one act of picking, which will give you three figs, which is more than you need, or doing two acts of picking to get exactly the amount of figs that you need. Now, an interesting point in this connection that Rishonim bring up is that that when we talk about, let's say, for example, Tosfos' scenario of cooking and adding more to the pot, fine, Yom Tov is more lenient. But in general, if we have on Shabbos where a person is suppose you have a Chodesh Yesh V'Sakana and you're cooking for him on Shabbos. Suppose you put more food in than necessary. Is that an Issur D'Oraisa or an Issur D'Rabbanan? The Rashba holds it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan. The Ran holds that it's an Issur D'Oraisa. So now, our Gemara on the face of it seems to fit better with the Ran's explanation, because on the face of it, according to the Rashba, if it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan to be Marbe B'Shiurim, to add more when you're doing it, then if he does the three that are on one stem, then he's being over only on an Issur D'Rabbanan of doing more than he needs to by getting three figs instead of two. Whereas if he did two separate, if he pulled off the two separate figs, then he'd be doing two Malachas D'Oraisa. So Al Gemara works well according to the Ran. How would it work according to the Rashba? So the Kovetz Shiurim has a long explanation about it and then makes the distinction and says, you know, let's say, for example, so if we were to cut the two figs on the two separate stems separately, but both, suppose he did them both at the same time, he'd also, according to the Rashba, be over only on an Issur D'Rabbanan. So then the question is, which Issur D'Rabbanan is worse than the other? The fact is, though, that the Mishnah Berurah explains that the halacha is not like the Rashba. The halacha is that it's actually also D'Oraisa, when you have to do malacha for a chodesh yesh v'sakana, fine, but to do anything extra is actually also d'oraisa. This, by the way, is also negeya as far as hatzolah, for example. When they run off to do a hatzolah call, obviously they're doing chilul Shabbos of various kinds, and they're allowed to for a chola, but they have to be careful in various ways, and there are guidelines that are published for hatzolah members to be careful not to do any more chilul Shabbos than necessary. For example, let's say, are they allowed to, once they get to the destination, are they allowed to close the car door? That's also that involves an Issur Shabbos itself, because you're turning off lights in the car. So if you say, like the Rashba, that Marbe B'Shiurim is only D'Rabbanan, then it might not be such an issue. But if it's D'Oraisa, then you do have an issue. So there's quite a bit of discussion about that. You do have factors involved. Also, there is Machshilon La'asid Lava involved. There's the issue of they need to be available for the next call should it come in. So there's quite a bit of discussion about the ins and outs of these things. Anyway, so that was Rava's question. So the answer is pshita shalosh ma'isinim. It's obvious that we bring the one with the three that are on one stem. The ad kan lakom Rabbi Shmuel hasam. You know what? Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah is saying that you harvest three saw and bring the omer from it. Ela dekima ma'if achila. He's reducing the amount of grain that he's harvesting. So therefore, so Rabbi Shmuel says, better you should do that. You should harvest as little as possible rather than more. Since, as we learned before, it is possible to get the Yisorin out of three saw, one tenth, then Rabbi Shmuel would rather you do that. Here, if you're going to try to reduce the amount of food and bring only the two grogos, the fact is, you're doing more of a malacha of tzira, because you're doing more cutting off of things. So therefore, vade shalosh ma'isinim. So there's no question that in a case like that, you would have to bring the three. It means you're bringing more figs than are necessary, but nevertheless, it's still better to do that rather than to do two separate malachas of ksira. And again, if we say like the Rashba that the whole thing is only d'rabbanan, then the case would be, let's say, the Kovetz Shiurim explains that it would be the question would be if you cut them both at the same time. The Mishnah says, mitzvah sa'omer lovim in akarev. The mitzvah, the proper way of bringing the omer, is that it should be brought from grain that grows close to your shalayim. Because, as we're going to explain in the Gemara, two reasons why. Loy bikur akarev the shalayim, but if what's close to your shalayim is not yet ripe, then they can bring them from any place. It has to be in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to learn later in the Masechta that it has to dafka be from Eretz Yisrael, but it could be from elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael if necessary, even though, as we're going to say in the Gemara, it's not going to be as fresh when we bring it to Yerushalayim. In fact, Maisa Shabbat Ha'oimer Megagas Tzrifin, it happened once that the Oimer was brought from a place called Gagas Tzrifin, which is far away from Yerushalayim, or Shtei Alechem, the Bikas Ein Sofer, and the wheat for the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos that year was brought from Bikas Ein, from the valley of Ein Sofer. Where are these places? So I once saw an explanation that the place that's now Kfachabad used to be an Arab village called Sarafend. It seems that there was a Jewish village there back in the day called Srifin. And in fact, you have, there's an Israeli army base right near there that in fact bears that name, Srifin. So one possibility I've seen that Gagas Srifin might have been in that area, the area of nowadays Kfachabad. So nowadays you get in the car, 45 minutes, an hour later you're in Yerushalayim, but back then it would have been a journey of at least a couple of hours. As far as Bikas Ein Sofer, I've seen it identified as a place near Shechem. So again, it's nowadays a place where it could be a short drive to Yerushalayim, but back then it would have taken considerably longer. Anyway, the point is, these are places where usually they would never bring it from, but in that year, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, they had to. As you guys, the Gemara will tell us the whole story. So the Gemara says, my timer, why should you bring the Omer from the place closest to Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, he borrows Omer Mishum Caramel. One reason is because the Pasuk says in this week's parasha that the Omer has to be caramel, which means fresh grain. The word caramel breaks down into rach and mole. The kof resh, we interchange letters and it becomes the word rach, which means soft, and mole means full. You want the grains to be as soft and as full as possible. So therefore they should be fresh, as full, in other words, full of moisture. As you bring them a distance, they start drying out. You also want, Rashi points out, the word mel also means nimlelas v'yad. It can be rolled and crushed between the fingers. So if we bring it from far away, then it starts drying out. So therefore you should bring it. So that's one reason why you should bring it from as close as possible. The Bori Sema, another reason, is from the Ein Ma'avir Na'a Mitzvah, is because you're not supposed to bypass an opportunity for doing a mitzvah. So if you can, so as soon as you go from Yerushalayim, the first place where you find barley available for the purpose, you should go and get it from there rather than going further away. The Sfasemis points out a nafkamina between the two reasons. Would be, let's say they did bring it from further away. According to the first explanation, according to the first explanation, we should go and bring from closer, because what you bring from further away is not going to be caramel. But according to the second explanation, look, lachatchila in ma'avir na'a mitzvah, but if you already brought from someplace further away, then you should stick with that. Tosfos has a bit of discussion over here about Ein Ma'avir Na'a Mitzvos in other contexts when we apply it, when it's relevant and when not. So in particular, when we have, in order to establish a certain place for a mitzvah and say that that's on the grounds of Ein Ma'avir Na'a Mitzvos, that won't work. We need a different reason behind it. And therefore, that explains, Tosfos discusses that in light of what we learned in the Zvachim about where the blood, where the shirayim of certain karbonas are poured. So for either of these reasons, we should bring it from as close as possible to Yerushalayim. But the Mishnah says, Maisa Shabbat Omer Megagas Tzrifin, but it happened once it came from Gagas Tzrifin and Ein Sofer respectively. So, what happened over there? The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Kishetzoru Malchid Beis Chashminoi Zeal Zeh. When the kings of the family of Chashminoyim were besieging one another. You have the original Chashminoyim who fought against the Greeks and recaptured the Beis Mikdash, and because of them we have the Nes Chanukah. Later on, their descendants ruled over the Jewish people for several generations, and eventually, unfortunately, they became tzedukim, and eventually there was a civil war between two brothers over there. Hukinus and his forces were on the outside of Yerushalayim, and Aristobulus and his forces were inside. The Gemara tells a story in a few places, and has in one place it has the Gersa the other way around. But in any case, they're besieging one another. Every day, the people of Yerushalayim, Aristobulus's forces, would lower down to the besiegers a basket full of dinner coins. The kupa in a basket, umal mahem tmidin, and the people from the outside would send them up a lamb for the korban tamid. So every day they were doing this. Korban tamid is extremely important. You want to bring it every day, so therefore they were willing to pay a high price for it. You can see already that Burkinus's guys are no goodniks in that they're even charging such a thing. They should realize for themselves, look, this is something that's necessary for the whole Jewish people. All of us are in this together to bring the korban tamid. Why are we charging them so much money for it? But nevertheless, that's what they were doing. In fact, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh points out that, look, the halacha is you can't bring any other korban before the Talmud, so that was why they were willing to pay such an inflated price. In fact, we know...
All Kohanim?
No, well, Hukness and Aristobulus themselves were Kohanim. The people on the two sides, respectively, were from different groups. In fact, Rashi, in one place where the story is mentioned, Rashi mentions in one place that Hukness, on the outside, also had Roman forces with him. In the end, by the way, Josephus tells the story and tells that... What? In the end, Josephus tells more details about the story and says that eventually what happened was both Hyrcanus and Aristobulus appealed to the Romans to help them, and then that brought in Pompey, one of the Roman leaders at that time. And once they took over Eretz Yisrael, they never left. So all of that was a big step towards eventually the Churban and the Golus was the civil war and then bringing in the Romans.
Were they fighting about?
They're fighting about who's going to be the king. The Josephus tells the background of it, that before their mother, Shlonsian, passed away, she said Hyrcanus is going to be the king godel, and Aristobulus is not going to have any particular position, because she knew that he's a very ambitious kind of guy, and there could be trouble if he is. So he describes over there was a civil war after which they agreed to share power, but eventually they had a falling out. Each of them had their Goyish allies who broke them into fighting one another, and eventually they went to war again, both of them trying to be the next king.
Yeah. How can a king be a Kohen?
That's a good question in itself. And the answer, that Ramban actually says that this is why the Hashmonaim eventually were completely wiped out by Hurdus. He says because they took the kingship when they weren't supposed to. Because, yeah, they're Kohenim, and kings are supposed to be only from Malchus Beis David. But in any case, at that point, they were, in practice, they were kings. It's not like the Chachamim had much of an ability to do anything about it, as it is, a number of the Hashmonai kings had attacked the Chachamim and killed them. Therefore, one or the other of them is going to be king under the circumstances, and they were fighting between each other which one. Yeah, if the Chacham had their way, neither of them would be the king. Neither of them were very good people anyway. The Chacham would much rather, if there has to be a king, it should be from Beis David, and it should be somebody who are like what a king from Beis David is supposed to be, but they didn't really have the ability to do anything about it. Anyway.
So they were code-free in the whole Torah Kula, basically.
Well, not the whole Torah Kula. I mean, there is precedent in the Torah that there can be kings from other Shvatim. It just can't be a permanent kingship. Anyway, we don't really have the time to talk about that in detail. Okay, anyway, so the point is, again, so our Stubbles' forces every day are sending down a basket full of coins, and every day they're sending them up animals for the Korban Tumim. Hoyashem Zokin Echad. Now, within Yerushalayim itself, there was an old man, Shoyimakir, Chokhmas Yevonis. He was familiar with Chokhmas Yevonis, which was a secret. Rashi says remizos means gestures or allusions. So this was some kind of a different mafoshim. Talk about what it was exactly, but it was some kind of secret code or some kind of code talk or something like that only the intelligentsia, only some people were familiar with. So therefore, in other words, he's able to use that to signal to people outside Yerushalayim without the people inside realizing what he's doing. So he knew this Chokhmas Yevonis, and he was going to use it to betray the ones inside. Laws Lahem, the Chokhmas Yevonis, so he hinted to them, he hinted to them with this Chokhmas Yevonis, and he told them, Omer Lahem, he says, Kol Zman Shasukin V'Avoda, as long as the people here in Yerushalayim are doing the Avoda every day, you're sending them the animals for the Korbanos, Einim Sodom V'Yadchem, they're not going to be handed over to you, you're not going to be able to win, you're not going to be able to win and break into the city. So therefore, they understood what they should do. L'machos shulshal lahen dinurim v'kupa. The next day, the people of Yerushalayim sent down the dinurim in the basket, as usual, the helo lahen chazir. But the people from the outside sent them up instead of pig. Given shigia l'chatzi choyma, when it reached halfway up the wall, you can imagine they're schlepping up a box up the wall, and the animal is inside it, not sipona v'choyma. It stuck its hooves into the wall. Rashi explains elsewhere, this is a normal thing. You drag an animal, it's going to try to brace itself and then hold its hooves and then dig its hooves into the ground, so you can't take it. So this pig did that. V'nizdaza Eretz Yisrael, Arameis Parasa, Al Arameis Parasa. The entire Eretz Yisrael, 400 Parasa by 400 Parasa, trembled to show how angry Hashem was at the Schil Hashem that had just happened. Marsha elsewhere explains that the pig is also, we find in many places in Chazal, is a symbol of the Romans. The Romans themselves actually had one of their legions had a symbol of, used the symbol of a pig, and they used the word, they were their word for pig as a personal name and as a family name. So it was like we find many places where they're analogized to one. You have the famous expression that a pig sticks out its hooves and claims that it's kosher, in the same way the Romans put on a good show of being very moral and upright and everything and really do anything. But so now the pig sticking its hooves into the wall is in fact a foretaste and a premonition of this, that the Romans soon are going to stick their hooves into Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be the beginning of the end. So the Gemara says, Ba'osa Shah at that time, Ba'osa Shah Omru, at that time, the Chachamim said, Odo Shi Yigado Chazir, cursed is a person who raises pigs. Minatori, you're not allowed to do Schoro, but Dvorim Asurim, but you have, sometimes you could raise them for other purposes, such as to use the fat or the skin or whatever. But now the Chachamim said, even not for that, and the Chachamim said, there's an Oru, there's a curse on a person who does that. Ba'oru Mishi Yilamit, Ba'oru Shi Yilamit Asmene, Chachmas Yivonis, and cursed is a person who teaches his son Chochmas Yevonis, because now because that's what this old man used in order to cause the trouble over here. Later on in the Masechta, by the way, we have Tosfos points out that later on in the Masechta we're going to have that the Gemara is going to mention a nephew of Rabbi Shmuel who asked him, "I've learned the whole Torah, am I allowed to learn Chochmas Yevonis?" And Rabbi Shmuel tells him, basically, you still have what to learn in Torah. You know, a person needs to be learning Torah constantly. So why not the order? So Tosfos brings a few answers. Maybe that story with Ben Doma and Rabbi Shmuel was before the Gzeira. Tosfos points out it doesn't really work chronologically. And Tosfos says that another possibility is there was an order. But if you want to, if the person says, you know what, I don't care about the order, I'm willing to do it anyway, then go ahead. Now Rabbi Shmuel is telling him that nevertheless it's still Bittul Torah. Elsewhere the Gemara mentions in Bava Kamma that, by the way, the Chum did make an exception to that. Chochmas Yevonis, this kind of gesture, language, or whatever it was necessary for people who were dealing with the government all the time, and therefore they had a special heter for Rav Gamliel's household, household, and Tamidim, to be able to learn this Chochmas Yevonis, but ordinarily not. Now, while Oysa Shah Omru was about that time that we have the story in our Mishnah, Maisa Shabbat Oymer Megagas Srifin or Shealachim in Bikas Ein Socher. That it happened that the Oymer was brought from Gagas Srifin and the Shealachim from Bikas Ein Socher, because what happened was that these armies had destroyed all the fields around Yerushalayim, either just in the normal course of armies marauding around, are going to destroy everything, or Marsha says they may have done it deliberately, the same way they didn't want the Talmud to be brought, the same way they wanted to prevent the Omer from being brought. And another possibility is also that Yerushalmi mentions that there was a drought as well, so it was like on top of that, not only were there armies, but there was also a drought which made things even worse. So the Gemara says, Kimota Oimer, when it came time to bring the Korban Oimer, Lo Habu Yadi Mehecha Isi Oimer. They didn't know where they're supposed to get grain for the Oimer. Akhuzu, so they made an announcement, if anybody knows, you should come and tell them. Maybe by that time the seed was broken, maybe not. So I guess by that time we have to assume that the seed was broken, that people should be able to get in and out of Yerushalayim. Anyway, so Akhuzu, so they made this announcement. Osahu Charsha, a mute person came. Charsha comes from the word cheresh, which usually means a deaf person, but here it means a mute person, because after all, he has to have heard the announcement. So he was a mute person. He came, and instead of he couldn't speak, but Oisiv Choda Yoda Aigra, the Choda Yoda Asrifa. He put one hand on a roof and the other hand on a hut. So he's obviously signaling them something, but they didn't know what. Omaluhu Mordechai. So Mordechai tells them, as the Gemara is going to explain in a bit, we'll learn more of it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that they had different officials in the Bis Mikdash that are listed in Masechta Shkolin, and one of them was named Psachia, and he was identical with Mordechai. Rashi actually says that this is the same Mordechai from Achashverosh's times, in which case it means that he lived a couple hundred years, because the story of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus and their whole war was about 300 years after the story of Purim. So it would mean that he lived long. But the different explanation is, on the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, said, or no, Tosfos rather, Rabbi Yaakov Emden discusses this also. Tosfos points out that no, not necessarily. It means that, in other words, that every time they as each of these officials in the Bais Mikdash would pass away, they would appoint someone who had his qualities. The one of the one who lived at this time was nicknamed Mordechai after the original one because he had Mordechai's qualities of, as the Gemara is going to say, knowing all the languages and being able to figure out these kinds of obscure allusions and things. But he wasn't the actual person from the time of Megillas Esther. Anyway, so Mordechai says to them, "Mi ikaduchta d'shma gagas tzrifin or tzrifin gagas." Is there any place named Gag? He realized that when he's putting a hand on a roof is Gag. So, and he's putting the other hand on a hut, which is tzrif. So, is there a place named Gagas tzrifin or tzrifin gagas? Bodku. So they checked into it, Bashluchua, and sure enough, they found such a place. Marsha actually says that it means that in that place also they needed to protect the grain from being destroyed by the armies. So therefore they covered it temporarily with something resembling the roof of a hut, which is why the place was called Gagas Tzrifin. The fact that they sent a mute person, first of all, this way the enemies couldn't worm the secret out of him because he won't be able to talk and they won't understand his gestures. And Ben Yehuda says it was also a hint to them, you know, you have such machlokas between you, so keep your mouths quiet from Lashon Hara and Rechilus and all that, just like this mute person is unable to speak. So that's why they brought it from Gagas Tzrifin that year. Now, Kibol Asuri Shtelachem, that year they had to bring Shtelachem. Also, they have a Yadi Mehikal Asuri. They also didn't know where to get wheat from it. Achrazu. So again, they announced. Osahu Gavra Chosha. So a mute person came. The pastor was the same one. Osiv Yoda Ene. This time he put one hand on his eye. The Choda Yoda Asichra. And the other hand he put on Sichra. Rashi explains that Sichra is the hole in the side post of a door into which the bolt goes to lock the door. Tosfos brings a different explanation. Sichra is a caver. And a third possibility Tosfos says is that a Sichra is a dam or a weir in a river. Each of those things is called in different places Sichra. In any case, he put one hand on his eye and the other hand on a Sichra. And again, nobody knew what it was. Amalehu Mordechai, and again, Mordechai, whether again the original Mordechai from Megillas Esther or his successor, depending on Rashi or Tosfos, asks them, "Umi ikaduchta d'shma ein soicher or soicher ayin." He realized that the eye is ein, as in a spring, and then the other thing, the sichra, represents a place called soicher. So, is there a place that has those two words in its name? So, Bot Kavashu, they checked into it, and sure enough, there was such a place, and they found their wheat for the Shtelachem. Here also, Ben Yehoyada says the symbolism is that your eyes are closed. You're not realizing how terrible machlokas is and what horrible things it's causing. But if you would realize that, then you would be doing things much differently. Anyway, so they found there and they found wheat for the Shtelachem and they were able to bring the Shtelachem that year. So that's when the Mishnah says that one time it came from Gagat Tzrifin and the other time came from Ein Sofer. That was the background to this. It was at this time, it was after this war of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus and all the fields having been destroyed and all that. Since we're mentioning over here the Chochmah of Mordechai in being able to figure out these obscure allusions by the mute person, so the Gemara will continue. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, talking about more stories in this connection. The Yerushalmi also brings them in Shkolim, where it mentions over there Psachia / Mordechai being in charge of the Kinim, the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to quote in this connection. We'll have more stories about his Chochmah and understanding all the languages and understanding these obscure allusions, and then we'll continue with the process, with the procedure of how the Korban HaOmer was brought.